Welcome to Tampa Bay FM's Synergy Connection, where life as you currently live it can be transformed into the life you've always dreamed of. Understanding your synergistic connections is the pathway to your emotional, physical, spiritual, and mental wellness. Let's begin connecting the dots. Welcome, everyone, to the Synergy Connection Show. It is November the 29th, and we are rapidly moving into the holiday season, which brings its own level of stress for those that are trying to cope with a number of things that are happening in their lives. For those that have addictions, the stress can be even more complicated. So I have, as our returning guest, Dr. Paula Nelson from Dunedin, Florida. And she will continue that discussion that we had a couple of weeks ago about helping families recognize the signs and how to help maybe support those in their families or other loved ones who are struggling with addictions. Thanks for coming back and helping the listeners understand what's going on in the lives of those that they care about.
Well, thank you for having me back, Lucy. This is a timely topic. Obviously, the pressure of the holidays are difficult for everyone, but those who have an addiction, these issues of money, family, and general stress are amplified, often because these are the same old issues that lie at the root of the addiction and the beginning of the drug use and abuse in the first place. So, you know, this is just amplified, and there's triggers and many strategies we can talk about today to cope with those triggers that we talked about a few weeks ago on the show.
Do you think Thanksgiving was the beginning for most people, like slightly before, because everybody's talking about what they're going to do over the holidays?
Absolutely. In my private practice, I helped many individuals and couples cope with the upcoming Thanksgiving holiday, having to face dysfunctional family interaction, and to manage stress. Because what happens a lot with even my couples that don't have an addiction, the dysfunctional family, the history, the old issues trigger, and, you know, the couple will get into an argument. So we did a lot of pre-planning just for Thanksgiving.
One of the things that I became aware of actually just yesterday, and I hadn't thought about it, but the number of clubs, whether it's a book club or whether it's Optimist or Rotary or something like that, where people will get together, mm-hmm. you know, during this next month, just as a social gathering, not a business gathering.
Right.
And they'll have lunch or they'll have dinner, but there's usually a drink involved.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so for a lot of people that are recovering alcoholics in particular, it might not even be a drug addiction, but just
right.
an alcoholic that has been sober for a while, being around others who are imbibing
mm-hmm.
can be very, very tricky. And
right,
I heard this morning somebody who said, you know, get a sparkling drink
mm-hmm.
and put a lime in it. And people don't really know whether you're having a cocktail or not.
Right, right. You know, and the other interesting part of that is that people who have an addiction to other drugs, you know, cocaine, you know, and such, they'll think that it's okay to have a drink. You know, I this isn't my drug of choice. I'm not addicted to alcohol. I'm not an alcoholic. And that drink, that alcohol, will trigger the return to the drug of choice. That is a very frequent incident, because innocently enough, it's like, I never really cared about alcohol. I can drink.
Mm-hmm. So it just lowers their inhibitions, mm-hmm. and so then they're more likely to say yes to something that they were addicted to.
Yeah, someone who is addicted to a particular drug is ultimately always going to return to that drug of choice. I have a client who she's not alcoholic. She could care less about alcohol, but when she drinks, it takes her back to smoking marijuana, which is her drug of choice. So It's important to have a plan. When you have an addiction, it's important to wake up every day thinking about how you're going to stay sober that day. You know, once you have a plan in place, you should be okay. You know, the key is to plan, and stick to your plan.
So let's pretend for a minute that you have somebody that you're working with, and you know, maybe they're trying to figure out what is the best plan for me.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be with family over the holidays. They're flying someplace,
mm-hmm.
or driving someplace. And they know that when they get back into that environment, there's going to be a little more stress,
mm-hmm.
than if they were just home working their own schedule.
Right.
So what would you suggest to that individual?
Well, you know, even what you were saying about the Rotary Club and, mm-hmm. the chamber, you know, having socials where there may be a drink. It's important to rank situations as low, medium, and high risk. That's a good start. And, you know, look at your plan, look at the possibilities, what the functions are going to be, and rank them as low, medium, and high risk. Now, people in early recovery who are just, you know, starting, you know, their abstinence, it's better that they spend more time in low risk situations and stay out of those medium and high risk situations. They say if you want to stay dry, stay out of wet places.
Right. That's a good thing.
Yeah. Now, if you're further into recovery, you may find yourself in medium or high risk situations, like a party with an open bar. Rely on your plan, you know, maybe arrive early, you know, duck out early, or, you know, miss that point where everybody is becoming intoxicated. So early before things progress, and leave early before things progress.
So in a way, you would recommend that somebody either have an Uber,
yeah,
you know, bring them,
right,
and
right.
then take them home,
mm-hmm.
or that they drive their own vehicle, so,
mm-hmm.
they're not holding anybody else up. You know, mm-hmm. they have the ability to choose when they depart.
Right. Or even bring a sober buddy, you know, mm-hmm. someone who knows what your plan is, what your goals are, and they can support that and, you know, drive with you. And
okay.
say, hey, it's time to go.
Kind of be your reason for leaving.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
Right.
So, you know, you can even bring the party with you when you were mentioning, you know, going to see family. You know, if you have an eating disorder, a good idea is to bring your safe food,
mm-hmm.
you know, or make sure you, you know, can run out to the supermarket and stock up, you know.
On Good Morning America, they had an anchor that has lost, I guess, about 30 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that she was talking about is it wasn't that she had a food addiction, because she wasn't, you know, grossly overweight,
mm-hmm.
but her health did require that she lose, you know, the mm-hmm. amount of weight she lost. And she said when she goes to parties now, even though some of the higher calorie foods are very enticing,
mm-hmm.
she gravitates towards, you know, carrot sticks,
right,
or, you
right.
know, something that she knows that are healthy,
mm-hmm.
that she can have a few of. So she's still participating,
right.
but she's not tempted by all of the high calorie foods that are on that table.
And there's a lot of them. This is a mm-hmm. difficult time of year for people with eating disorders, which
right.
is another addiction. And you had mentioned the sparkling water with
mm-hmm.
lemon or lime.
Mm-hmm.
You can also bring non-alcoholic drinks, you know, beverages with you,
right.
To neighborhood parties,
right.
And social, you know, gatherings where, you know, it's not at a facility. You can bring, you know, a drink that you really enjoy, you know, like if champagne is a temptation, you know, sparkling water.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I remember... back when we were living in Wisconsin, we had a lot of entertaining that we did, and there were a few people that wanted to enjoy beer with like a football game,
mm-hmm.
but they knew they weren't supposed to be drinking regular beer, even though it was only, what is it, like 7%, it's not
right.
high in alcohol,
right,
but they knew they shouldn't, and so they would either bring Fossheiler, I think, is the name of one of the beers that's German, and it tastes very much like beer, but it has low calories, and it's non-alcoholic.
Yeah.
And so there are ways that you can feel that you're participating and yet not be back into that addictive behavior.
Right, right. And there's more and more options for the non-alcoholic beers and other drinks.
Right.
Today, it's there's more and more because there's more of an emphasis on health.
On health, right.
So we talked about triggers also on the last show. The most important part of relapse prevention for someone with an addiction is to know their triggers. And again, in my private practice, when I have people who have relapsed, clients who have relapsed, I'll ask them, well, what, you know, why did you relapse? What happened? And 9 out of 10 times they'll reply with, I don't know. I don't know what happened. And I was like, well, let's dissect this.
Right, right.
You know, let's go backwards. And, you know, they talk about the 5 W's, when, where, why, with, and what. And we do. I had a client who just relapsed after having 12 years of sobriety. And, you know, I asked her, what happened? And, you know, and he said, oh, I you know, I hadn't been going to as many meetings. And I was thinking, I don't think that that's after 12 years. No, you know how the program, you know how AA works. You have a sponsor. You've worked the steps. It's just not that simple. And, you know, we kind of dug and dug, like, what happened, you know, before you drank, you know, a day, a week, what was going on? And we finally, you know, using the 5 W's, discovered that he was angry at his girlfriend and this was his revenge. It's like, I'll show you, you know, it was a self-destructive thing, but he, you know, the thought was, I'll show you. I'm going to do what I want to do when I want to do it and heck with you.
So in a way, you know, in his case, he didn't stop to think that he was only hurting himself. He was thinking, you're going to feel bad because I drank.
Right.
And then you're going to feel guilty.
So it was, and he was shocked when we got to that point that it was anger, resentment, you know, it his girlfriend. And when he was thinking, oh, I just didn't go to as many meetings, it's never so simple. So you really have to dig at times.
People self-sabotage on a very, very regular basis. And you're right. I mean, it's not just with addictions. It's everyday life.
Right, right.
And understanding that so many times what takes place is that we are doing that self-sabotaging, you know, because we believe we're not worthy, or we believe that we have some sort of erroneous belief,
right?
That we are living.
I'm not good enough.
Yeah. And so, alcohol, drugs, eating, all of those things play into it heavily.
Right.
But if people would understand maybe their own cycle of thinking,
right,
you know, and try to head down a healthier road.
Yeah, because we all have like those unconscious, automatic, negative self messages that we give to ourselves, and they're unconscious, you know, and they're automatic.
Right.
So we were genuinely unaware of them on a daily basis. So bringing that to your awareness, you can discover those relapse triggers. It's really important to know the relapse triggers so you can be proactive and prevent.
What are some of the examples of triggers that do get people?
Well, one great acronym, especially for this time of year, is HALT. Don't get too hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. You know, so it's that's a good one to keep in mind. You know, because it's a time of year when you can get too hungry, angry, lonely, tired. You know, especially dealing with family and friends, and am I invited? How come I'm not invited? And you are, and they don't love me, and you know, all of those, you know, negative self messages again. You know, when you running around, you forget to eat. You know, that happens. If you have low blood sugar, that leaves you anxious and irritable, which makes you feel impulsive. Again, we talked last show about the only reason we use substances is to change the way we feel. You know, so, you know, if you're irritable, if you're anxious, that's an uncomfortable feeling, which could result in impulsive acts, you know, and makes you more vulnerable to substances. So that can trigger the cravings. It's important to eat.
Speaking of which, as people are driving home for the holidays or flying someplace, of course, the airlines don't feed you anymore at all. So you have to remember to stop and get that sandwich before you go on board. Because if you fly and you're not drinking enough water or you're not eating and you
Good
arrive at
point.
the other end, you're going to be not only tired and crabby, but you're
Hungry,
hungry as well. So
Good point.
I think if you're taking a road trip, pack things that are healthy for you to eat, and making sure that you stay hydrated. A lot of people don't drink enough water, especially when they're flying. But I think it's true even in a car. It's like, oh, that means I would have to have more bathroom breaks. But you have to take health over pulling off and going to the bathroom, I think, sometimes.
Yeah, you want to make sure that you eat something, you know, that's nutritious every 3 hours to avoid that dip in the blood sugar. And the hydration is so important that you mentioned.
Yeah, it really is. And then just again, if you're whether you're flying a long flight or driving, getting out every couple of hours and just stretching, doing some deep breathing, kind of relaxing. Because for me, driving here in the area I live in Pinellas County, all of our snowbirds are back. And I have to laugh because sometimes I listen to different radio stations and they're always talking about the snowbirds are here and how much more crowded it is on our already crowded highway systems. But if you're out on the interstate, the speeds are high and you probably need to make sure that you're moving around every so often just to keep that alert factor going.
You know, so you know, the lack of, you know, food, exercise, hydration can trigger a craving, you know.
Something to take the edge off.
You know, but it's also important to know that cravings only last about 20 minutes.
So they have to get past that. So what could they do? Let's say that we have a trigger. They're overly tired. They know they're getting irritable. They probably need to be thinking about eating something that is going to be nourishing. But what else could they maybe do after they arrive at a destination or, if that halt, maybe they're feeling lonely. And all of a sudden they're thinking, wow, I would like to just have, and then their drug of choice. But what would be an option for them instead of looking towards the drug or the alcohol or the food or whatever it might be?
I think that mindfulness can play in here. If I tell myself a craving is only going to last 20 minutes, I can get through anything, you know, for 20 minutes. A mindfulness practice can help. You can say, okay, that's just a thought, and then put that thought, that craving on a leaf and watching it flow away down the creek, or, you know, putting a, I have a client that putting the thought on the leaf and watching it flow down the creek was too slow for her. She said, I want to put it on a passing car and let it drive away. So it's like, whatever works for you know. Some people will put that craving, you know, like that's a thought, put it on a cloud and watch it float away. So mindfulness practice is really effective to know that this is not a thought, it's not a fact. I don't have to act on this. I can say, yes, that's a thought, acknowledge it, name it, I have a craving, and let it flow away, because within 20 minutes it's going to be gone.
Another one that I have used myself in practice in the past is I had a trash can that was a little bit bigger than most. So I had clients that would write their thoughts on pieces of paper, little pieces of paper that I would have for them. And then they would wad them up and throw them towards the trash can. And we'd see how many times they could hit the trash can. And so it became a little bit of a game.
That's great.
But it was fun for them, recognizing they could ball up whatever was going on in their life and pitch it. You know, they don't have to hang on to things. And so, you know, that's another option for people that want to be more interactive in what they're doing.
Right.
So the mindfulness is a good visualization tool for some people that are a little more on the hyper side. Play a game of basketball with your destructive thoughts.
God boxes are another technique. I don't know if you've ever used or the God box, where you create a box. You can decorate it however you want to decorate it, or have any kind of box you want to have. And when you have a craving or disturbing thought or resentment, or you can write it on the piece of paper, the same type of thing, and put it in the box, give it to God. You know, if you do, you know, believe in God, or you know, whatever your higher power might be, turn it over to your higher power. And
you know, what would be interesting is if they were using that type of a box to hold their thoughts for a year, to actually, as a therapeutic session, let them examine how many of those they actually were able to let go of.
Yeah, that would be fun. That would be interesting. You know, with the God box or the higher power box, when you take back that thought, you have to take it out of the box.
Right.
So there's times when I've used it myself, and I've been back and forth and back and forth with that box, because every time I start dwelling on it again, I have to take it away from my higher power, take it back until I'm ready to turn it over again.
You know better, huh? And then you go, no, I probably don't.
Right, right. So, you know, just because you have a thought doesn't mean you have to act on it.
Right.
You know, we always feel like we have to act on it. We don't have to act on it. But also, when you were talking about taking breaks and walking around, taking breaks when you're driving, you know, make time for regular exercise. We get out of our routines during the holidays, because the urge to drink or to use a drug often feels very physical. So if you can give your body something physical to do other than a drink or the drug, it can satisfy that craving.
Right. Now, again, for those that are maybe traveling during the holidays, if their routine has been to go to a gym or maybe they have a place that they walk, that's going to be gone.
Right.
But that doesn't mean they can't find an alternate spot
to
do those things wherever it is they're going. And especially during the holidays, there's a number of parks that are lit up beautifully for the holidays.
Absolutely.
So it's a great place to take a walk in the evening and just kind of experience all the twinkling lights.
You know, and that also gets back to what we were talking about on the last show about reuniting with family members. That's a huge trigger to use alcohol or drugs for many with an addiction. And getting out, taking a break, getting out and walking around the neighborhood can satisfy the exercise and give you a time out so you can calm yourself and come back and cope.
Well, and in a number of past shows, we've kind of talked about breathing, you know, and the importance of being aware of your breath. A lot of people, when they get stressed, they do what's called thoracic breathing, which is upper chest breathing, rather than belly breathing.
Right.
And if they want to learn how to do that effectively, just lay down with a heavy book on your stomach so that you feel yourself pushing that book up, because that's where belly breathing comes in.
Right.
That's the way I taught kids, you know, how
that's
to do that.
That's a great.
Is they didn't know. Or you can rest your hand, you know, on your stomach. And when you take a deep breath, then your hand should automatically move out if you're doing it properly.
Right, right.
So, you know, they can practice as they walk, you know, deep breathing, and just kind of as they're breathing in with fresh air, whatever maybe is going on in their lives, they are going to be exhaling all of those negative thoughts.
Right, right. So, you know, it's difficult to avoid family this time of year, but it's important to set healthy boundaries.
Right.
You know, taking those timeouts, taking those walks. If you're in a 12-step program, using your sponsor, and the self-soothing strategies, like you were just mentioning, the breathing or meditating or mindfulness practice.
And even if they have like some special music that is very calming to them, the holidays are all about kind of a more excitable time, energetic
very
time.
Very hyper.
And, you know, kids are excited and everybody's busy, and so you're amped up a little bit.
Right.
If you have some soothing music that you know calms you down, maybe taking that with you if you're traveling,
right,
so that you've got something to plug into and can listen to, you know, as you're taking your walks, that will help recenter you.
Right, absolutely.
And then your support system, you know, is one more thing. So I am hoping that if anybody is traveling, that they have supportive people on the other end of their destination.
Yeah. You know, and if you're not ready to share with family members that you're in recovery, then it's also important to plan for that too. Have a script ready, you know, while you're not having that drink or, you know, so you're prepared for that.
Okay. Well, I really want to thank you for coming back.
Thank you for having me.
You know, with me again, and I hope that all of this information has been helpful for those that are listening, and that they have at least a few ideas that they can take with them if they're traveling or if they're having family here. A lot of times people want to come to Florida for Christmas, and then you have a house full, which is another stress. But, you know, plan activities outside of your immediate home. You know, if you're not going to go to Disney or Universal or something, then look locally and see what kind of activities are going on.
Well, thank you.
Get ready for 2019, I want to suggest something that's new on my website to people, so that you can really have your very best year ahead of you. And what I'm going to talk about just very briefly is how to get healthy. I changed the blog on my site to actually read show notes, so people can go there and decide if they want to listen to the half-hour program. But next to the show notes is now something called a health blog. And what happens here is that so many people do not have their physical health where they need to be. And in order to have all four areas, the spiritual, the mental, the emotional, the physical has to be there too. It's one of the most important areas, because if we're physically not healthy, then it's very difficult for the rest of us to be healthy.
Right.
They all work synchronistically. And so on this blog, you'll be able to actually click in on the health blog. You'll see a little paragraph about why do we really need multivitamins, or what about nootropics? Because a lot of people have moments where they just kind of go blank. And, you know, there are so many people worry about Alzheimer's today. And if their family members have had it, you know, will I get it too? So nootropics are a way to have clarity in your thinking. So there's about four different areas right now that I'm targeting to help people get ready for 2019 and just being healthier in general. And if they go to that website, synergyconnectionradio.com, and they click on health blog, they can choose what they want to listen to. And if they go to the link will take them into a very educational and fun blog. It's very interactive. And then if they decide that they want to order a product, if they use the word Lucy as the promo code, they'll get $5 off of anything
that they
might want to order. But I really want to encourage people to start looking at their physical well-being as they move into 2019. And let's make this a super healthy year for everybody. The other thing I want to briefly mention is next week my guest is going to be Bart Smythe. And he is a modern-day shaman. He began his understanding of health and wellness in 1988. He has studied Jungian psychology. He blends this understanding of health with his Central American and South American shamanic studies. And he's going to be with me at 11 a.m. live, but he'll also be at the Rockstar Cafe that evening from 7 to 9. And that cafe is on Tampa Road in Oldsmar. so I hope you will be able to join us at that time. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to share different insights into your health and wellness. Have an awesome day and a terrific remainder of your week. And remember to make this your very best life. Thanks so much, people. Bye-bye.